So if you're a hospital and your wireless goes down, you're not only losing money, you're also
losing lives.
You're potentially sacrificing patient care.
Yeah. Welcome to another episode of Unraveling IT. My name is Nate Troyer. I'm an account executive, and we have today Garrett Wiesenberg. He is the Director of Solutions Engineering, and we're discussing a riveting concept called wireless. We kind of just live with it and understanding it and maybe knowing the value and the pitfalls that can happen in adopting a wireless solution is probably a topic that is worth some discussion. So Garrett, thanks for joining us. Fun fact, I used to work for Garrett. He was my boss in name only. We often discussed wireless because it's one of those solutions people think should just work. And how do you overcome that? How do you overcome that idea that, well, I mean, it just works. You just throw up a couple APs and Bob's your uncle, I'm on the internet.
Well, it usually starts with quite a bit of planning. And in that planning, we start discussing the business outcomes, right? So the way I like to describe it is that everybody just thinks that wireless works because they always say, at my house, in my home, I've got Frontier, Comcast, whomever it may be, and the wireless just works. They've got a single router usually placed somewhat centrally in their home, and it just works wherever you're going and whatever you're doing. What they don't understand is that business Wi-Fi is different from your home Wi-Fi from the perspective of it's not just one access point placed centrally in the building trying to service all of your clients. By clients, I mean devices, whether laptops, cell phones, tablets, etc. With business wireless solutions, you have multiple access points that are going to be placed all throughout your facility to provide you with good coverage. Well, if you're in a 10,000 square foot warehouse, one access point may be so far away that you can't see the signal and you can't connect to it.
Your device can't see the signal.
Your device can't see the signal or connect to it. And so you have to go from AP to AP to AP as you kind of walk through that facility and get to, you know, the place that you're going. In that process, you're going to be roaming between all of those different devices. And that's something that typically doesn't happen in home internet or home Wi-Fi usage. And that's what makes wireless more complicated than people tend to realize.
So one AP would cover my house more than likely, and I'd be fine.
Correct.
And and if we take that paradigm and then try to apply it to business, that's really not the case.
Yeah. Those ISPs have it figured out. They know that a single router placed somewhere in the house can more than likely cover an average sized American home.
Okay. Okay, so what are the pitfalls in that you've at least seen in you know, clients adopting a wireless solution that doesn't like work out? I have devices that can't see my wireless signal, or they're not able to connect, or whatever. Is it like multifaceted, or is there one predominant thing?
It's very multifaceted, but I would say the predominant root cause, not performing a wireless assessment up front to understand the RF environment in that given space, in conjunction with the business outcomes that you're trying to achieve.
So what's a wireless assessment?
A wireless assessment is, there's a few different ways you can kind of handle it. There's a predictive and then there's a passive. The passive is typically what's performed first. We would come on site and we would perform a complete walkthrough of your entire facility using a tool that's monitoring the RF environment.
You're gonna have to tell us what RF means.
Radio frequency.
Okay, all right. Explain like I'm five.
Yeah, so radio frequency. I mean, everything operates on the RF spectrum, from, you know, the actual radio waves that you listen to, you know, in your car, to light, to
your microwave.
Yeah, your microwave. Okay. I mean, everything has some presence on the RF spectrum.
So what are some things you're able to see when you do these types of wireless assessments?
I've been able to pinpoint, you know, somebody in the kitchen's using the microwave because all of a sudden we see a complete flood of the entire RF spectrum.
Which would prevent people from connecting.
Which would prevent people from connecting. And that's why it's so important that you analyze what's in your space to better understand what we would need to do to design around that. Plasma cutters are another great example. They operate and cause a lot of interference. I've found Apple TVs, I've found Roku devices, I've found Bluetooth speakers all the way, you know, I found almost anything you can possibly find in clients' environments by performing these passive on-site assessments.
So what are some of the, what are obstacles that you would see to a good wireless connectivity in a bank as compared to, say, a hospital compared to, you know, a machine shop?
Those are drastically different environments.
I know.
Yeah. So, you know, your basic office building, it's just going to comprise, you know, however many users you may have with however many devices. There's usually not a lot of interference outside of your basic microwaves and some other, you know, minor odds and ends, anything Bluetooth. But it's a fairly simplistic environment. It's more about just providing good wireless coverage and throughput to your end users, really, is what it's about, so that they can walk from their desk to the conference room. In a medical facility, there is a drastically different approach you kind of have to take, because there's so many medical devices that either operate on the wireless or that operate via Bluetooth or have some component.
Or it could be in like a lead case room.
Yeah, or in exactly lead case rooms. I mean, I performed some work at the hospital downtown here. And I was cutting into some drywall to run a cable, and the drywall in that room was four layers thick because it was a burn unit.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, you walk into those facilities, you never know what the architecture is going to be. It could be brick, it could be stone, it could be steel. I mean, an office building, usually pretty simplistic, steel studs, drywall on either side, pretty basic. A hospital is definitely going to have some other challenges around not only the architecture, but the use cases, because if the wireless is down, all of a sudden, you might not be saving as many lives as, you know,
you need
to be. It's imperative that their wireless stay up and running for, you know, critical safety systems. But there's also a lot of other factors and materials and interference objects, things that will absolutely cause interference in that facility.
Okay.
Then you go manufacturing, and that's a completely different ballgame, because usually you're talking about a wide open space that's, you know,
or metal everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. It's usually a wide open space with a lot of metal shelving, and that metal shelving is usually filled with
metal components,
whatever parts and pieces you want. Yeah. You know, ranging from metal parts to, you know, just boxes, all these things. Anytime a wireless signal tries to propagate through any material or try to go through any material, you're going to lose some of that signal strength.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously the harder the object, so, you know, you think of drywall versus metal, the less it's going to get through. And so if, you know, in most of my, in my experiences doing the wireless assessments for those manufacturing facilities, while it's wide open and you could technically put an AP dead center in the middle of that warehouse, and it would more than likely cover a couple hundred feet either direction with ease, it's all the shelving and other objects that they put into that warehouse that causes the issues and causes or facilitates the need to put in more access points.
So that's really good to know. I think that's kind of like leading into my next question, which is, you know, now that we have an idea of what we need to put up and how we need to put it up, and, you know, where access points need to be, how do we secure it so that some cyber criminal, you know, doesn't get onto our wireless and start wreaking havoc? I mean, obviously, I think most people watching this will know, like, there's SSIDs, there's ways that you can say, like, you guys can be on this wireless channel or this wireless channel, but what really should you do to secure your wireless network?
So the way you secure your wireless network should fall in line with the framework that you use to secure your entire network.
Okay.
It's an extension of that. So, you know, obviously we at Corsica adopt or try to, you know, push the adoption of zero trust,
mm-hmm.
Which assumes you're already breached, and it's providing, you know, the idea is that you provide users with only access to what they need. And
at the
nothing,
time of need.
Yeah, at the time of need and nothing more. Most modern wireless solutions from all the big name players have the capability to integrate with either Microsoft for, you know, SSO or, you know, certificate authorities and leverage a lot of different features that give you the ability to lock down, you know, when users are accessing it, how often.
So they're log driven, so you can truck those logs back to a SIEM so that you can know what's going on so you can basically just tamp down on something when it's happening.
A great example is, you know, back in 2010, 2015, pre-shared keys were all the rage, WPAs, right? Or even WEP keys, right?
Oh yeah, WEP.
Yeah, good old WEP keys.
Do you like 36 character long WEP keys? Yeah. Because it's so impractical. Anyway, yeah.
But now we've kind of moved, we're moving away from those pre-shared keys, because what we find is that if you have a pre-shared key, you can potentially join a device that should not be connected to your network to the wireless. You know, a prime example is my personal cell phone should not be connected to your internal network for any reason whatsoever. But if mm-hmm. I know the password, I could do that. So, you know, it moved from that into, you know, LDAP or user-based authentication, yeah. where username and password, that still poses the exact same security risks, because you're only looking at the credentials and not the device itself.
The user credentials, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. So what you're basically saying is, like, the whole LDAP thing was still, it's only looking at the user, because I can type that username and password in on my phone, or I can type it in on my computer, I can type it in on my iPad.
Like, yep.
Okay.
Exactly. And it was simpler because it was something that you had to use each and every day. So you knew what your password and credentials were. So it was easy to connect to the wireless. If your password needed to change, you could change it, reconnect, no big deal. And it prevented administrators from having to go in and change the pre-share key every time an employee quit that knew it. Or, you know, every time they hire somebody in, it saves a lot of the administrative effort on the back end, but it's not necessarily the most secure, because it still puts the control in the user's hands as to what devices get connected.
Okay.
So then they moved into user credentials and device-based authentication. And that's great, because what that does is it takes the user credentials, and then it also will authenticate the device and make sure that the device is allowed to connect.
Okay.
That's great, but it also created more administrative headache, because now if a certificate is not on that device and it's not authenticated, they can't connect. If their password resets and their only connection is wireless, it creates an issue where they can't change their AD password and reconnect at the same time, kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a building where only your staff can get in, but, oh, by the way, I have to issue you a card now.
Yep.
And that's a whole process.
Yep. And so where we've really evolved to is more a certificate-based authentication that leverages not only certificates, but either, you know, conditional access policies or security group of some kind, to basically state that, you know, any company-owned devices that's a part of your domain.com or .local can join the wireless network as long as it's in this security group and has this certificate.
Don't some of them also do automatic, like, this happened on my phone too. Like I can add my phone onto our network, but I need to have certain applications.
Correct.
Present. So, and if they're not present, it doesn't happen. I mean, it's that, automatic.
Yeah. That's MDM. That's also conditional access policies checking, like almost like a host check, essentially, to make sure that you have an EDR or an AV solution, or, you know, anything of that nature that your company would require. We've even had requests to make sure that only Windows 11 PCs with certain Windows feature updates installed are able to connect to your wireless. And, you know, there is a level of granularity that we can get to. Don't know that we can go quite that far, but we can at least.
That seems like a giant headache.
Yeah,
for somebody.
It would be definitely a giant
team.
Well, because I mean, if you don't have the security feature update, you have to go do a Windows update. But if you're not connected to the internet,
well,
how do you do
as we know, the customer is always right. Now that's really interesting. So we've discussed you know, the fact that while people may think it's not difficult to do wireless, it's actually incredibly difficult. Our first topic, deciding which APs you need, where they should be located. That's the outcome of a wireless survey. Then securing it is more about what features does the actual equipment have, which brings us to, you know, why would I want to buy a business wireless solution versus just like non-business or very low-grade business equipment, or maybe even home equipment that you could get at, you know, Best Buy? Because I mean, Best Buy sells wireless equipment that's not bad.
I think it depends on the outcomes, right? So if you're a hospital and your wireless goes down, you're not only losing money, but you're also
losing lives.
You're potentially losing lives, but I mean, you're sacrificing.
Which is an income of, it's a source of your money.
Yeah. You know, you're potentially sacrificing patient care, you know, whereas same thing with manufacturing. I mean, the biggest reason manufacturers and their warehouses typically have wireless is to scan and pick parts off of shelving and get that out the door. If all of a sudden your scanners can't connect to wireless, you're down, you're losing money.
Right.
You know, offices like our office, for instance, most of our users connect via wireless. In that scenario, if wireless goes down, we can't work. We would all have to connect to our hotspots, and it would be very difficult to kind of do what we need to do. A lot of offices also still run on Ethernet cabling, so it may not be as impactful to, you know, your standard office. It just depends on your use case scenario. But with, you know, a lot of scenarios, it's really about your business outcomes and whether or not you're going to be losing money should you go down. And the reason I say that is you can go to Best Buy and you can pick up, you know, an ingenious wireless solution or a Linksys router or whatever it may be. And you can install that in your, you know, your facility all over the place. You're going to run into a lot of issues with your outcomes, number one, because roaming between a lot of those devices typically isn't going to be seamless, meaning you're physically going to disconnect from AP number one and physically reconnect to AP number two.
So that's a feature.
Instead of seamlessly transitioning between them without the user really having, you know, much of an impact. So there's business outcomes that absolutely are going to dictate what wireless solution you should go with and why it would matter. But then there's also a financial impact to going with those low cost entry level, you know, either high.
Well, isn't there an administrative impact too? I mean, typically those aren't going to have consoles, right, that bring everything together.
Correct. Consoles typically don't exist to manage your Wi-Fi seamlessly. You know,
right. So you're logging into device.
You're managing each device.
Got it. Yeah.
Individually.
Okay.
On top of that, security, right, needs to be front of mind because those devices typically aren't receiving, you know, as many security patches as often, because they're just intended for end user, you know, homes. I mean, they're not being patched daily by Microsoft.
Yeah, there's less of an expectation.
Yeah, exactly.
That.
It's not quite as
the
important.
Expectation is that it works, not that has tons of features.
Exactly. And so, you know, security needs to be front of mind as well. You want the product to be supported. You want it to be secured. You want it to work. And in the event of an outage, or, you know, a failed piece of equipment, you want to be able to quickly recover and get back up and running. And that's where I see the true downfall of those entry level or, you know, consumer grade wireless solutions, is that there's typically no warranties or support on them whatsoever, outside of maybe the most basic. But if you're
right, like email support.
Yeah,
like if I email you and maybe in a day you'll email me back.
Exactly. If your device goes offline, it dies for whatever reason, you need to get something put back in there so that your business can get back up and running. Well, what if Best Buy, Walmart, wherever is out of those today? You know, what are you going to do? Now you're introducing maybe a potentially, you know, a third option into your environment. And now it's even more of an ad hoc, you know, nightmare.
Yeah. You know, just a kind of a offshoot of this conversation, you know, when you get into the business enterprise level wireless stuff, does the hardware change drastically enough for you to, I'd say between like models, to go like, oh, you know, this hardware is better than this hardware is significant. Like you'll notice the difference. Or is it more administration, how, you know, ease of administration and features that are more software driven and not hardware driven?
Are you talking about vendor comparison?
Yeah,
or are
vendor,
you talking
vendor
about
comparison
within the same product lines.
No, like, vendor comparison in the enterprise space. So now we've left the Best Buys behind, and now we're like, okay, I can buy into why I need an enterprise vendor.
Yeah.
But now I don't know what to do. Is it Meraki? Is it Cisco? Is it Fortinet? You know, is it Ubiquiti? Because they play in that space too.
Yep.
So, or HP.
Yeah. So number one, every company makes great products. Every company makes not so great products. I mean, they all make, you know, they all want to make money. So they're all making.
Yeah, they are for profit.
Yeah,
like
they're
us.
Very much so for profit. But they're all, you know, offering up products that are very low cost and low barrier to entry, and then products that are, you know, designed for the San Diego Comic-Con Convention Center sort of thing.
Okay, yeah.
Right, with massive APs that can support a lot of users with external antennas, et cetera. But if you're talking about just comparing vendors and which one to choose, I would first, you know, ask, what is your current stack and where are you looking to go with your networking technology in the future? Because I think that's going to dictate it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Meraki, Fortinet, Cisco, Aruba, you know, Aerohive, even Ruckus, you know, all these vendors that, you know, make pretty decent, you know, business grade wireless solutions.
And Datto's in the mix now, too.
Yeah, Datto's also in the mix. Well, Kaseya, technically, but...
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, still Datto's product, but owned by Kaseya. But, you know, they all make great products, and they all will work, but it's going to depend on how do you want to manage it. It's the administration, kind of like you were getting at. Each vendor's going to have, like, models that are all comparable in terms of specifications, features. They're not drastically different from one another. How they're administered, though, and how they're managed on a day-to-day basis does differ per vendor. And not necessarily drastically, but enough that it might make, you know, your decision for you. So, for instance, some vendors are still operating with on-premise controllers, hardware controllers only. Which can be a pain.
Who are those vendors? Give me names.
It doesn't matter. with those on-premise hardware controllers, it's difficult to manage multi-sites from a single hardware controller. I mean, we did this all the time with Cisco and the FlexConnect versus local mode, and there's a lot we can get into there.
And to be fair, at the time, you know, when we were deploying the Cisco wireless controllers, they were the ones to have.
They were the cream of the crop back in, you know, 2015 timeframe.
Yep.
I mean, 10, 15. Now it's all kind of become a bit of a commodity in a way. It's
right.
Really more your flavor of choice.
Okay.
So obviously Meraki, Fortinet, Ubiquiti, they all offer a cloud type controller, where you can monitor, manage.
Well, they all offer a centralized management.
Correct.
It's just, where does that
lie?
Yeah.
You know, where, do you have to manage it?
Meraki has no on-prem centralized management.
Yep.
It's all in the cloud. And then Fortinet has the ability to do both. You can do one or the other.
Yep, exactly.
I'm surprised I retained that information. You're the wireless guy. I want to circle back to one thing that I kind of cut off. During the actual wireless survey, what other things happen from that standpoint? I mean, is it just a predictive survey, or is it?
No, so I mean, it can be just a predictive, but it typically starts, we like to start at least with the passive to understand, you know, the RF environment.
Okay.
And then after we have all that data, we can take it back, you know, to the office, and using essentially a modeling program, we can basically build the facility in 3D.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And place access points wherever we need to place them to kind of achieve the outcomes, and put in the RF, you know, the radio frequency measurements that we took.
So you're not guessing, you know exactly where to put
we
it.
We have a very good understanding of exactly what that outcome is going to look like.
Okay.
You know, give or take a smidge.
Okay.
That's...
Is that the technical term?
That's the technical
term. You
know,
it's a smidge this way and that way.
And as always, after the implementation phase, we do another quick passive survey to ensure that the actual outcome of everything's completed aligns with, you know, what we had predicted. And if any adjustments need to be made, we recommend and take care of the adjustments right then and there.
Do you find that you need to do a lot of adjustments?
Not typically, unless for some reason the environment's changed. Warehouses is a great example. They move shelving around from...
Oh, you know, yeah.
Start of the assessment 3 months earlier to when it's done 3 months later.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't take 3 months to do that, does it?
No. It's a very quick process, but, you know, based on client timelines and everything of that nature, hardware
it's good
availability.
To plan.
Yeah.
It's good to plan. Well, thank you, Garrett. Thank you for coming on and kind of demystifying some of the wireless questions that we get, some of the attitudes towards wireless, and helping, you know, our viewers and the people who listen to us make, I would say, better strategic decisions.
Yeah. Happy to be here.
All right. Good? Everybody like that one? All right.
Was it actually recording?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It was recording. It's recording. Well, this will be the outtakes. At the beginning, like the flubs at the beginning, there were no flubs by me.
So Wow, this is really awkward.
It is.
Yeah.
It is awkward, isn't it?
Okay. Everything has some presence on the RF spectrum.
Including human bodies, right?
Correct. If the wireless is down, all of a sudden, you might not be saving as many lives as, you know,
you need to be.
I mean, it could definitely impact your overall.
You're hastening them to a foregone conclusion for all of us. How do we secure it so that Mr. and Mrs. Bad Guy is not getting onto it? And I don't know what else to call it.
You're potentially sacrificing patient care.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely going
I like the way you put that. It's better than me. Like, people are dying. Like, it's patient care.
Well, you know.
Very professional sounding. Keep going. Special question for, you can leave it in or not. I'd say leave it in.
I mean, 75% of the statistics are made up 25% of the time, right? So.
Okay.
I didn't want to throw out a percentage number.
All right. But, I mean, that's good enough.